The True False podcast is made possible with the support of the University of Missouri and the Donald W. Reynolds Journalism Institute.
Welcome to the True False Film Festival.
Welcome to the True False podcast, presented by KBIA. I'm Allison Kofelt. In this episode, I speak with director Laura Bari, whose film Primas follows two teenagers from Argentina as they overcome traumatic experiences from their past. Bari's film was selected as the True Life Fund recipient at this year's True False, which means we'll raise money for the subjects of the film. The True Life Fund is our way of closing the loop between who's on screen and who's watching that screen. We raise funds for the subjects of a new documentary to thank them for sharing their stories with us. Laura, thanks for coming.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
It's so good to have you here for True False in person.
I'm very happy.
What a
fin. What a
fin. So for the True Life Fund every year, for our listeners who aren't aware, we go to all of the high schools. We go to all four Columbia Public High Schools. And so you, at this point, have been to three of those high schools. We're about to go to our fourth high school here pretty soon. And one of the things you're talking about in these presentations is the real physicality that you bring to the film Primas and the involvement of the connection between the body and the mind and the body and the spirit. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how that is in your art process and also how that plays out in the film.
After all of these years doing this art or others and being a teacher, being a citizen and a mama, I said, okay, we have to find a way to put all of this and have one idea and put it in an easy way to share this call for the consciousness, if I can say. So the perception of who we are, which is the same for me, we are all the same, it was always a fundamental priority to express, so to allow the youth to express themselves, whatever it is. But in our cultures, our society is most on the north and the occident. We use words and we use to think, to understand what is going on, and from there find the solution. And for me,
because you teach in Canada, so for Americans and Canadians too, it's very cerebral.
But we are a lot since 100 years ago just starting to think about this, how we can integrate all of this form of intelligence at once and give the others the possibility to express, and from that expression build a mirror where we can watch ourselves, and instead of broken that mirror, just build our identity with all of these pieces that we are. So in my films, I propose to my characters who are survivors, we are all survivors, but then there are a specific survivors of the traumatic experience, I propose them to express themselves with one of the avenues that we can. For example, the blind boy, he imagined that he was a detective who he was trying
Antoine,
to...
Antoine, one of your earlier films, Antoine.
Yes, Antoine. Yeah. And he was trying to find out the reality and imagine what is around him through the sound and through this project. From the other to the other film, which is Ariel, he used the imagination to build his own legs, which is in a projective aspect of imagination, which is, okay, I'm going to cut the metal like this, I'm going to rebuild those legs. And then in this one, the girls has to imagine what they could be without talking and what they're going to become being a woman, because this film is... about the transition from adolescent to the young woman life. Mm-hmm. So coming of age. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. So when you're setting out to make, or when you're starting to make Primas, was there a point where you realized, oh, I need to use the mirror here, that thinking about things in terms of that mirror, and getting Rocío and Aldana to Or did you sort of, did you go in thinking that was going to be something you were going to
use? I think the power of camera is tremendous, and I use it. I use it. I'm always with my camera. So then that ask you with the time not to act, but to be yourself, which is fantastic. And then I can show them a little part of that, and then they watch themselves. But it's more important for me the how it affects the inner world, because just the fact that they are doing a film allows them to have a new way to write their own identity, to build this own identity. I'm a person who has this terrible experience, which I'm trying to hide, but now I include this experience and I use this experience to reveal something else. So in this way, this mirror, which was broken, start to make sense and not to become schizophrenia. No?
Yeah. And so, and just to do a little bit of clarification, Rocío and Aldana are your nieces and you're their aunt. And they had not met yet when you started filming?
Yes.
Right. So this was happening separately, but, yes. But then you figured.
Because when I was finished another film, I hear about the story of Rocío, which was a little girl, 10 years old, biking, a car hits her, and then the men just violently raped her. And then she put her on fire and left her for death, and Rocío wake up, start walking, and then all you can see in the film, she was saved by the truck driver, and then the village, who everybody just stopped thinking about talking about this, and they protect her, the family and the village protect her, and it was about love and contention. And no judgment, because she has 60% of her skin burned. So it's impressive to see someone, her face, which is a beautiful face, is not affected by that. But she has only a mark of the, he hit her with the martillo arm.
A tire iron?
Yeah. In her face, or is it the only mark that she has? And then in her village, at the beginning, she covers herself because she didn't want to show, but then she felt everybody knows her. She felt very good to show. But as soon as I arrived with the camera, the second shooting, she put shorts for the first time.
Really?
Yes.
That was when?
The auntie, when we were in the second shooting. Yeah. And when I didn't meet Rocío before, because she's the daughter of my cousin, and they live very, very far away. Right. So I live in Montreal and go back to Argentina. Then I go to visit my closest family. So I have to go and meet her, because I knew that the story is true. So I arrived to her life 5 years after this horrible accident. So it was in the 15th anniversary, which is the quinceañera, is a very important thing in Argentina. And I arrived there, and it was completely original. It was not with the long dresses. It was not like Walt Disney and all of this. She's completely different. So, yes.
Well, and in the film, we find out about her scarring. It takes several minutes. I mean, like 15 at least, 20 minutes. I mean, it's a good chunk of the film. It's, how long is it, 100 minutes?
Yes. Right?
So we don't find out about her. We don't begin to see any of her scarring. I believe the first time is when we're in the ring, right?
Yes.
And we're seeing her being strong and being physical. And that's the first time the camera lingers on those scars.
So I wanted to go slowly with that. Yes, in my approach, I don't want people to stick in those, I don't know, human beings, like the accidents and blood, and then, okay, this happened, but look at the way she does. And this is very difficult to demonstrate the way of people acting.
Yeah.
So the parents were super, she's a normal girl, she had to go back to school, and then She started to not moving a lot, and then when I arrived to with the camera, she started to do this class of circus, and she's tremendously
She's super into the aerial circle, yeah.
And then it's super good for her skin because she cannot, it cannot.
Oh, it kind of stretches it.
No, and it's very important to grow up and have the possibility to grow with the skin.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I met Rocío there, and then I said, Rocío, you know what I do? No. Okay, what is your dream? And then she says, I want to be an actress. I want to speak French. I want to speak French and other languages, and then I want to travel. And I said, what do you think I do? I don't know. I said, well, I'm a dream maker. With the filmmaker and dream maker is the same thing when you do documentaries. And then she said, how come? Yeah, and you know, my next project is going to be on you. I said, oh, she was super happy. Thank you, Elena. So then I saw her skin. So I was impressed. Of course, it's very impressive because it's different. So I said, okay, there we are. I'm impressed because of this difference. I'm touched, but I'm going to get at the same level. So I start touching her skin. And it was super sweet, the sweetest skin I ever touched. It's like super a baby's skin, yeah. Super soft. And then I say, what about if you are my crocodile and we go to Paris every night and we come back? And then,
so you made up this story with her.
Exactly. Yeah. And then what about if this crocodile tells me everything that it sees? And then she started to speak for the first time about
So by speaking as the crocodile.
Yes. Yeah. And she, what the crocodile saw that night, or she started to speak about her own experience. Mm-hmm. And then I go back for 4 years filming their coming out. I don't know if we want to speak about the other casting or not.
Well,
yet.
Yeah, I would love to hear more about Aldana.
Yeah, because I'm the aunt of Rocío. That was your question, and then
and then one year and a half
after, I was making the tour, the world tour with the second film, which this last film was Ariel, a film about my brother, who loses both of his legs in the terrible accident, and through imagination he will rebuild his legs, and this is an excuse to rehabilitate physically and psychologically.
So again, bringing them, that physical into,
Yes, and what is in the inner world, and I put my characters in experience with nature, mm-hmm. and then the anti, their unconscious, just secret of fear where it's there, and then they open it and they follow, they increase their process of expression in this project or another project. But the thing is, when I went to show to my brother the film finish, he says, you're right, I have a lot of psychological problems, and then he says that he sexually abused of his daughter, my niece. Mm-hmm. So
he told you?
Period. My life end there, and then I say, okay, this is over. You go to the police. I'm going to take care of your daughter and your wife and the other daughter, which I did. So when I went to see my other niece, I said, Aldana, you know what I'm doing, and I'm doing this film about Rocío, which is a cousin that you didn't ever meet yet. And then she says, I want to meet her. Yes, of course, you will meet her with the camera.
And so that's how Rocío and Aldana met, and that's how Primas began.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I actually do want to ask you more about Aldana. I wanted to, this leads into this question that I wanted to ask you about silence, because we've been talking a bit at the schools about silence, and I wanted to revisit that. So we'll talk about that in just a moment after the break.
Thank you.
First, a word from our sponsors. Hey, listeners, it's Allison, letting you know that this episode of the True False Podcast is brought to you by the University of Missouri. That's also where we produce this show, here at the KBIA studios at the University of Missouri School of Journalism, which is famous for the Missouri Method. So we've got Catherine Wheeler here in the studio. Catherine's a graduate student at the University of Missouri School of Journalism, and she is a producer on our podcast for True False. Hey, Catherine.
Hi.
I was hoping you could tell us what you mean, what are we saying? Missouri Method.
Well, with the J School, we're kind of getting thrown into the deep end right away. I don't know any other place where on my first day of class I was writing feature stories for the local newspaper, and I'm working at the local NPR affiliate doing stories. There are just so many options to really get professional experience even before we go out into our professional careers.
Yeah, the experience stuff is really what stands out, I think.
Yeah.
The True False podcast is made possible by the University of Missouri. This episode of the True False podcast is brought to you by the Donald W. Reynolds Journalism Institute. Here to tell us more is current RJI fellow Chris Gass. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So what's your elevator pitch for your project?
Sure. If you're a small and medium-sized news organization, if you're a local paper or radio station, getting on board with modern mobile news app systems is expensive and probably not really an option for you. So this is something that lets you basically take a pre-made system, modify it to your needs. In a couple days, you can have a completely native iOS and Android apps for all your readers.
Oh, yeah. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper than the $50K that it usually costs.
So. Yeah, and this would be free, open source.
Completely free. Anybody can take it. Anybody can download it. You change a couple config files. You might have to hire a developer for like 2 or 3 days. That's what RJ is letting me work on.
Chris, again, he is a current Reynolds Journalism Institute fellow. We're really excited that you are sponsoring our podcast, taking a long look at the work of filmmakers, not unlike journalists who get to settle in with their work here at the RJI Fellowships. And the True False podcast is, of course, as I just said, sponsored by the Reynolds Journalism Institute. You can find out more at rjionline.org. That's rjionline.org. Welcome back to the True False podcast, presented by KBIA. I'm Allison Kofeld. Let's get back to my interview with Laura Bari. Bari's film, Primas, tells a coming-of-age story of two teenagers from Argentina, Aldana y Rocio, as they overcome dark events from their past. So, yeah, I mean, when you were beginning to film Primas and you didn't know it was going to be about Rocio and Aldana, and then you learn this about Ariel, your brother. Can you speak to what that was like and how you navigated that culture of silence that's usually comes with?
It's super important that you are asking, because I have finished a film that takes a lot of years to do, and then I was convinced that this method to bring out what is inside, it allowed people to build their identity, which happened with Ariel. And then when he talked to me about this, he says that he stopped doing that when I get with the camera into their house. So then I said, no, I start the film about Rocio, with Rocio, building this crocodile star story. And then I say, no, this is going to be the encounter of the two primas. And we have And in this scene that you might watch, it's a 15 minutes plan séquence that I put them together, and I say, okay, look at, and there's the Big Bang, there's the world, that we, the continent, there's Argentina, and we have to be in the same family. You, Rocio, you were a victim of one in 200,000 animal could do that to the baby. And then you, Aldana, you are a victim of your father, and says, which is my brother. Me, I also pass through, but no, at that level. And then I say, and we are together, and I make films. What about if you speak about it? What about if we speak to the world? How come you can smile? How come you can wake up every morning? How come your mother does? How come your sister? How come you go to school? How do you do, guys? For me, I'm completing admiration with both of them.
Yeah,
and
remarkable.
I said, if you ever had this silence who is super heavy, because in families, in everywhere in the world, I'm going now with the film.
Yeah, with the film now.
And then people come and say, I never talk about this. Mm-hmm. So some people think I'm a traitor because I just put my brother on there. But it's not because it's my brother, he's less criminal. So, I mean, I can understand the rehabilitation of all of the crimes, but you don't touch kids. Just forget. I'm going to build a house for all of the pedophiles. I'm going to teach them cinema, but you cannot go out. This is the only crime that you cannot resolve. So it's very delicate, and if you cover that because it's your family. We are all complicit.
Yes. Yeah.
So this silence for me, and then I discover, for example, after just when you learn about this reality, I just literally I let the world just melt. I stopped talking with all of my friends. I keep working. I just made the basic, but I spent like 3 years in silence, not being related in intimacy with nobody, and I made this film. Yes.
Yeah. So this is a healing process for you too.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody in the team, in the families, with the of the girls, and in the cities where we go, because each time that someone come in the team, I talk about the story and I say, this is the approach. Everybody has to do everything. If we need to go and pick up something to eat, if you are available, you go, even if you are the sound man, if you are the assistant, even if you are the protagonist, we are all on the same level. And I really do. I really do. We are all the same. We are all the team. So people feel very comfortable and they feel included. Mm-hmm. So that makes a power, and we hold together, and there's always miracles. It's incredible because, for example, when we go to these landscapes, for example, where I expose my characters and the team disappears, there's, for example, one time we had an eclipse. Another time, you know, the film start with this... Seal, como se dice, la foca, the seal, you see the seal? I was there. So the team asked me, Lolita, we've been working for 15 hours now. Can we have a break? Because we all live together. And I say, I don't think so, because it's the last day of shooting and then we go back. So
and you needed that seal.
So they say, well, we are going to take, okay, will you take a break between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. because I want to shoot the sunrise. And I say, oh, are you serious? Yes, we go to the beach now. But I'm not bringing my microphone. Okay, I'm bringing the camera. So we went to have that break.
And that's how you got the shot of the seal.
And the seal was dead there, okay? It was dead. And then the boys went to, because it was hitting by the car, which you see the marks. Oh. So I put my head down. I am a yogi, so I always do the meditation in this position. So I hear, oh, my God, I have to help you to die. So I put my head down and my legs up. And I put the camera on beside, because we never know. And we have this lighthouse on the back. We watch. It was the first We really went there. Mm-hmm. And this lighthouse was built by Gustave Eiffel, who built the Tour d'Eiffel, and is the place where Lucie wants to go. So I was there doing that. And suddenly she started moving. And then my other cousin, which is a coordinator, said, what are you doing? Just silence. And she put her head down on the abs. And then this guy just started breathing again.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she started, you see, and in the film, when Rocio wake up, she wake up, and then she was super happy, and then she turns, and she watched at me, and she has only one eye destroyed and the other. So this is a miracle.
There's so many moments in the film. The seals one, the ice scene is another, where we're really getting these images and you're working with these metaphors of the natural world and bringing them in, like Rocio as a crocodile. And in that moment in the classroom where they're learning about Socrates and Plato, and the teacher talks about the physical world, right? And the world of ideas. And this film seems to be about this, stitching together those two.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about the conception of human being. And then what we really perceive is that what it really is. And then in this age, they are searching for the truth. So it's super important to say, what do you think about this girl when you see her burn? What do you think about this girl, Aldana, which is super dynamic, and you never imagine that she is that
so
amazing.
Charismatic.
So charismatic, and then so collaborative, and so brave to share this reality, because people feel shy. And then I'm super proud of them, but especially with Aldana, because to share this is just already have a lot of stereotype.
It was so good to have you here.
Thank you, Alison, very
you
much.
Thank you for being here. Yes. Thank you. If you're listening to this, you can still donate to the True Life Fund. You can go to truelifefund.org or truefalse.org. We're going to keep the fund open through March of 2018 and maybe even a bit after. That's it for this episode of the True False podcast. You can find more of our conversations with filmmakers at kbia.org, in iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, leave us a review. It'll help more people find this show. Thanks to Laura Bari for the interview. This episode was produced by Hannah Haynes and edited by Bram Sablesmith and Ryan Vermuliner. Our introduction was created by Tim Pilcher using sounds of the True False Film Fest. Join us next time as we discuss a different aspect of the art and craft of nonfiction storytelling. I'm Allison Kofeld. Thanks for listening.